John chapter 3. Let's read together. First 21 verses. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is in him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much for this conversation that you had with a man who was empty, who was searching, who was dry, who, much as was full of knowledge, did not know you. But thank you so much for your Spirit here to draw us to yourself, Lord, to help us understand the word that you have for each one of us. So, Lord, we open up our hearts, we open up our lives for spiritual birth, oh God, for refreshment. Lord, fill us. Quench our thirst and nourish our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This is said to be the most famous conversation in the Bible. And the conversation leads up to the most famous verse in the Bible. In fact, if you do not have the Bible, and we only had John 3:16, we would know everything that we need to know about God. This is a man who was full of knowledge, Nicodemus, and call him Nick. But he was also timid, he could not face Jesus during the day. He must have been there in the temple, seeing Jesus with so much authority, cleanse the temple, kick out all the businessmen who are doing illegal trade, blocking Gentiles from praying, from meeting God. He could have heard about, and I know he must have heard about Jesus turning water into wine. Nobody had done that before. This is a Pharisee who did not believe in spiritual life. He did not believe in life after death. He did not believe in angels. It's a man who had committed himself to following the law strictly. Every bit of it, even adding to it. Thinking that by all the prayers and the fastings and the goodness, he would end up in heaven. But he knows for sure he's so far off. Pharisees were those who, when they were going to give, a trumpet had to be blown so that everybody notices they're giving. If they were fasting, they walked around sad, with their shoulders dropped. You ask them, how are you doing? I'm fasting. Don't you see? The Bible describes how they loved to be greeted in the marketplaces. Pastor, how are you? Reverend. These are men who could not help on the Sabbath. In fact, we're going to see how they will try to challenge Jesus when Jesus helps people on the Sabbath day. This is really a good picture of humanity. Dead. Completely dead. It's also a good picture of religion. He has credentials. He has a title. He has a position. He doesn't have Jesus. And makes him nothing. And he knows it so much, he has to look for Christ in the night and ask him some questions. He needed to be sure. He was hungry. He was thirsty. In many places, Jesus would have conversations with individuals just like Nicodemus here. And God, in his wisdom and the power of his Spirit, just draws men to himself. Who called Nicodemus to Jesus? Anyone? He wasn't even among those that Jesus had singled out and said, come, follow me. I was actually one of those people who went to a friend at night to find out who Jesus was, and I met him. We all stand and was stood in Nicodemus' shoes. And maybe you're here today that God has brought you here to hear this and to draw it to yourself. You're in a good place. He knocks on the door. It was open. Jesus must have been with his disciples, and John is recording this firsthand. He must have been in his religious attire. He could tell, oh, that is Nicodemus. Look at how he's dressed. Probably wrapped parchments of scriptures around his right hand. Must have been embarrassed to meet Jesus in the day. The door is opened. And we have the conversation. We know that you're a teacher. You come from God. He knows that Jesus must be from God, not only from what he sees, from what he has heard, and what he has seen him do. Nobody can do what you're doing if they're not from the Lord. Now, these are men who are teachers in the Bible, in the temple there, teaching scriptures. And he knows there is something that he lacks. And it's in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus had never performed a miracle. God had not used him before. The supernatural is so far away from him. He doesn't even believe in the supernatural. He doesn't even believe in spiritual life. And Jesus hits him right in the face with his words. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That must have shocked him because, being a Jew, he knew he was a descendant of Abraham. The Jews had forgotten that entrance to the kingdom of God wasn't just by being Jewish. It was by believing in Jesus Christ. He must have been thinking, I thought I was already in the kingdom. And if that was his question, Jesus would have asked him, so why are you even here? You obviously know that you're not in the kingdom. There's something in your heart that is missing and you know you need it. You need spiritual birth. You need to be born again. Nicodemus is still wondering. Can I go back to my mother's womb, as big as I am, as old as I am? Can I shrink into a baby again? And my mom goes to hospital and the delivery process is done? He's right to think that, right? He's had born again. And Jesus tells him, no, you don't have to do that. You've already been born of water. You've already had a physical birth. Now you need spiritual birth. You need to be born by the Spirit. He explains to him that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're all flesh, right? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. One is missing, Nicodemus. You need to be washed by the Spirit of God. You need a radical transformation, not just small, minor change. You need major surgery. Nicodemus is surprised. And Jesus would emphasize, don't be surprised, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Look at the wind. You don't see the wind, but you see the effect of the wind. Wherever it comes from, wherever it's going, you can't see it, but you see what it does. It blows. The trees shake. It's not external, Nicodemus, it's internal. You're not going to see the Spirit face to face, but you're going to see what the Spirit of God does when he's in there. Remember Galatians 5:22? Joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, and all that, the fruits. You don't see the Spirit face to face, but you see the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have any. You don't have any of those, Nicodemus. I don't see joy. I don't see gentleness. I don't see patience. I don't see goodness at all. All I see is knowledge. Could have been a professor of theology in our day. Don't be surprised. You must be born again. Nicodemus answered in verse 9 and said to him, how can this be? I need an explanation here, Lord. Jesus answered and said to him, you are a teacher of Israel and you don't even know what I'm talking about? What are you doing teaching? I'm giving you information that you need to accept because my witness is true. You need to receive this, Nicodemus. I've even given you an earthly, a physical illustration you don't understand. Let me give you a heavenly one. I hope you understand, Nicodemus. No one has ascended to heaven and came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. It's me, Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He finally gets an explanation. He told him, look here, Nicodemus, the person you're talking to is the Son of Man. Nobody has gone up there and come down. It's me. And you need to listen to what I'm saying here. You just need to believe. You need to receive me, and you will have entrance into the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This man is now really completely dumbfounded. He's quiet. In fact, up to this point, he has no more questions. All his questions are answered. Jesus gives another illustration that we can look at. Just as the Son of Man, rather, just as Moses was lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must I be lifted up. And when I am lifted up, everybody who believes, who receives me to be true, who acknowledges me as Lord, who receives my forgiveness, will enter God's kingdom. And the story is actually found in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. The Jews were going through the wilderness, going towards the promised land, but you know that in many places they were fond of complaining and murmuring and crying and just whining about everything. In Numbers 21, when they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. At this point, they were discouraged. And the people spoke against God and Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, no water, and soil, and our soil rather loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when they looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Sounds like a harsh judgment. How many of us love complaining? You don't have to put up your hands. Just imagine each time you complain, and that sting. Now see how the picture of the cross is being drawn here as Jesus explains this to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, your teacher, right? You teach the Bible. And he says, "Yeah, I teach the Bible. Do you remember the story of Numbers 21? "Yes, I do. What happened? Let me explain it to you." The people complained. God's judgment was sent in form of a snake, many snakes. Highly poisonous, many died. They prayed, "I told Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it up in the middle of the camp. Whoever gets bitten but looks at the serpent will be fine," and was fine. Nicodemus, I am going to the cross, and whoever looks to me for salvation will enter God's kingdom. How can the serpent be a picture of the holy cross of Jesus Christ? Bronze was a metal in the Bible associated with judgment. And bronze had to be fired up. It had to be heated to be shaped. So a bronze serpent does speak of judgment upon sin. And as this pole would stand in the middle of the camp of the Israelites, there is a picture of the cross, a draft. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, I am here. You see me? I'm soon going to the cross, and whoever looks to me for salvation will enter God's kingdom. You don't have to do anything, Nicodemus. You just have to receive my forgiveness. You have to be born again. And the word that Jesus uses for born again means not only having a second birth, but the one who did it first has to do it all over again. The one who brought you to this earth is the very one who needs to give you a spiritual birth. You cannot do it by yourself, and nobody else can do it. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, this is what the Lord told the Israelites. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. The one who brought us into this planet is the one who has to give us that birth so that we go back to where we came from. I remember that fellowship had been broken in Adam. When Adam sinned and all of us in him sinned, we died. We were walking around just like Nicodemus, dead. Ready for burial, really. Separated from God by sin. And Jesus was going to bridge that gap, and whoever would look to him would be saved. Don't you think Nicodemus was thinking, well, that is too easy. Can't I be born again by reciting 5 books of the Bible? Can't I do something here? Can't I just keep making sacrifices? But he knew that as a teacher, he had scriptures recited and memorized. He had performed and given in so many animal bad sacrifices, and they weren't helping. I was tired of it. He needed to believe. He needed to have confidence. He needed to receive the witness of Jesus as true. He needed to know Jesus. He needed to know God personally. What is eternal life that Jesus is talking about here? Now we know in the English it's life forever. But John himself, recording Jesus in chapter 17, verse 3, John 17, verse 3, define spiritual life, eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. This is Jesus praying. That they may know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing Jesus, whom the Father has sent. And leads up to that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever looks to him, whoever believes in him, should not die, but have life, fullness of life, life hereafter. Why did God have to do that? The verse explains, because of his love. Were we deserving of his love? Obviously, no. We deserved judgment. How is that going to happen? Jesus was going to the cross. The only begotten of the Father. Who is invited? Who can get saved? Whoever. Everyone who wants salvation can get it, can receive it. It's free. God is presenting a gift, and whoever takes a hold of it can have it. We are the whoever's, the whosoever's. How does salvation happen? Just believe in Jesus Christ. Just receive him and his witness as true. Just acknowledge who he is as he sits here before Nicodemus. For God did not send his son into the world. Now Jesus is really speaking about himself, though as if speaking about somebody else. For God did not send me to condemn it, but that the world through me might be saved. He who looks to me, who believes in me, will not be condemned, is not guilty. He's declared justified. But whoever rejects is condemned already, because he has not looked to me. Now Jesus makes exclusive statements, but inclusive as well. Salvation is exclusive to him alone. Now, there are people who will tell you there are so many roads that lead to heaven. There's only one person who said he was, and it's Jesus Christ. All the others have not promised that. None. I don't even know how people come to the conclusion that there are so many ways to heaven. Nobody ever claimed or said he was the only way to heaven apart from Jesus. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not whoever it is. Not any other person. In their own recorded testimony or words. It's exclusive to Jesus Christ, but it includes everyone. Everybody is invited. Exclusive justification. And everybody else out of that is judgment. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ are already condemned. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. We're evil. Jesus is really confronting Nicodemus. He's telling him, look here. You must be born again. You must get out of your darkness. Or else, you're condemned right now. You're going to hell. If you do not receive me right now, know that you're dead. You love doing your evil deeds in darkness. You know that sin is done in the dark. And the light of Jesus Christ comes not just to expose it, but to remove it. And sometimes people think when they come to Jesus Christ, God is just going to expose their sinfulness. Yes, he's going to expose it, but with no intention to embarrass you. With intention to wash it away. To give you light. Instead of the darkness that you're caught up in. For everybody practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest the deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Nicodemus, you have to get out of your darkness and live in the light. Have you believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Are you sure you have? There are people who are like Nicodemus. They know about it. They don't have it. There are those who believe, oh, everywhere leads to heaven. It doesn't matter which way. All roads lead to Rome. That's not true. You take Kampala Road, see if you end up in Rome. Whatever you believe is true for you. If you believe Jesus is the way to heaven and it's true for you, it's true for you. If I believe, fly out of the window, I'll end up in heaven, it's true for me. That's a lie. It's not true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Jesus Christ, is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're still in darkness, if you're not sure if you're entering God's kingdom, maybe you're thinking, it seems that I'm very close, but looks like I'm so far off like Nicodemus. You need to make sure that you're going to heaven today. You're still caught in darkness? Get out of that darkness today. Come to the light of Jesus Christ. All of us are sinners. All have sinned, Romans 3:23. All have sinned. All of us have sinned. And all of us are guilty. There's only one way we can be justified. It's through Jesus Christ. And the penalty of sin is death, and Jesus took that death on the cross. Each person, each one of us has to individually look to Jesus for forgiveness. Have you done that? And for you who has believed in Jesus Christ, looking to Jesus does not end. In Hebrews chapter 12, first two verses, therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Doing what? Doing what? Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, the right hand throne of God. When Jesus was going to the cross, was thinking about Nicodemus, you and me. If you know for sure you've given your life to him, you've received him, we still look to him, don't we? Always looking at the cross of Jesus for everything. Salvation is there. Forgiveness is there. Life is there. We don't ever and we should never stop looking at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where we are continuously set apart for him. And everybody who goes to the cross doesn't remain the same. If you're here and you're not sure you're going to heaven, you're not sure. You're thinking you may be close, but you're thinking, no. I may be close, but being close is not good enough. I need to be sure that I'm in. Would you please make sure you're going to heaven today? Will you please ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, and to change you, to give you spiritual birth? And doesn't stop there, to allow the presence of his spirit in you to be seen. It's not going to be external, it's internal, it's your heart. Though the results are going to show, we're going to see that you really are a follower of Jesus Christ. I would like to ask you, let's stand together as we finish. If you're here and you're not sure you're going to heaven, just make sure. Come forward. The men will lead you into prayer to make sure that you go to heaven. Be with Jesus Christ. God, thank you so much for the life that you give, Lord. Thank you so much for the cross. Thank you so much for bridging heaven to earth. And at the cross, Lord, we continuously look But at the cross, your blood was shed, your body was broken, so that we would be saved. Saved from sin, saved from condemnation. But you're not on the cross anymore. You're ruling and reigning. Lord, you are our advocate before the Father. And we look to you. So we can be set apart for heaven. Lord, I pray that you may continuously answer our questions, Lord, through this book. Lord, I pray that you may continuously draw us to yourself. Lord, fill us and satisfy us. Lord, I pray for those who are here who do not know that spiritual life yet. They don't have it. They're not even sure they have it. Lord, may you reveal yourself to them in a fresh and new way. In Jesus' name. There are going to be men up here in the front. The choir sings the last song. And if you're not sure you know Jesus Christ, please come and make sure you know him.